A very warm welcome to you. You are listening to a message from Word Fountain Christian Ministries. Be blessed.
Praise God. Let's just continue in that mode of worship. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Sometimes we need to speak to our soul because there are things that come to just dampen our soul. There are things that come to make our soul heavy. But in that authority the Lord has given us, we speak to our soul to say, bless the Lord, because he is mighty, because he is powerful, because he's a great redeemer, because he's a Lord of lords, because he's the King of kings. Let's just speak to your soul this morning. Speak to every part of you this morning. Everything in us to bless the Lord. Everything the Lord has created in us to please him. Every cell, everything in us is to please the Lord for his pleasure. We're saying you have to please. My soul, you will please. My heart, you will please. My liver, you will please. My kidneys, you will please. My hands, you will please. Every part of me will praise the Lord. We will bless your name because we know, oh God, that you are the almighty God. You're the one who gives us breath. You're the one that makes sure we wake up in safety because you've been watching over us throughout the night. That's why we can come as you helped us to get here. Despite every challenge, you helped our families. We can stand and say, bless you, Lord. Oh, my soul. You have no choice right now but to bless the holy name of the Lord, to bless the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Father, we'll bless your holy name. Daddy, we give you all the glory. We give you all the adoration. Daddy, we acknowledge your presence in our midst. And we give you reverence. We speak against every wandering mind, every distraction, everything that tries to exalt itself above the name of the Lord. We pull you down in the name of Jesus. Only the Lord will reign as king in this place. Only him will take president. Only him will take preeminence in everything we do today. Father, we crown you as King of kings in this place, in our hearts, O God. Father, you go ahead of us. Father, Lord Jesus, we bless your name. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all take our seats. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. It's time for the word. Hallelujah. But before we go on to what the Lord has prepared for us today, there are just one or two things that the Lord laid on my heart just to share. The first one in this is a scripture in Matthew 13, 12. I believe I've shared it before. And it's one that I take with me when I go to a place when the Lord is going to speak. And he tells us, Jesus is speaking, and he said, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. When you look at the second part, the converse is true. Those who do not listen, whatever you had, it says, will be taken away. But that's not our portion in Jesus' name. We want to be ones who listen. We are Word Fountain. We're ones who listen, and we take the light and the word of God because he gives us more understanding, and they will. We will have an abundance of knowledge. Amen. And even from that place of listening, there's an encouragement for us to press on even further and have an expectation. When we come in the presence of God, we need to have an expectation of what we are looking to the Lord for. We can't come in empty-handed. We have to have an expectation. I give a testimony, actually, too. I had one, but the choir have given me a second one. We were, by God's grace, in Manchester yesterday. And actually, it's the Good News Assembly Church. And there's the Bishop Jama, who is there. And he came here when they came over the weekend. He said, you can't come without expectation. And that's another principle I added. And I was going to the program, and I wrote some things. I'd never been. So I said, Lord, I'm not really sure what to expect, but I trust you. And I write down things. And I even wrote one that I called my cheeky expectation, because the program was not even about that. I just put it down. I said, Lord, help me, meet me there. And every single thing on that program, even the cheeky one, God met. Amen. Because I was looking for wisdom in a specific area that was not related to a women's conference. But the person who came to talk, I was in awe. And when I went to meet her after to say, you helped me meet my cheeky expectation per se, the date I was hoping for that to happen, she said, actually, the thing you're asking for would be better in the date I had mentioned. Specific. I was thinking about just a normal background. There's a particular uncle in my family. If he ever calls me and says, come and see me, I know I'm not coming back empty-handed. So whenever I get an email from him in our house, I'll shout, Uncle This has sent me an email. Really? We get excited because we know. Wherever he says, come and meet me, we will get there because I know that my hands will be very nicely lined when I come back. And I was saying, oh, this uncle is not emailed for a while. It'll be nice to hear. Praise God. But that's human being. That's just a human being that when I hear that, see that email, there's excitement before I even meet. I'm already expectant. I'm already saying, wow, I know this bit will be sorted. I'm already expectant. How much more when God calls you for an appointment on Sunday to get here and meet with him? We can't come in empty-handed come in with no thought or expectation what to expect from him. I'll just give you a few seconds if you've come in without any expectation. So just have expectations today from the message that by the time we finished, God would have met you at a point of your need. He would have answered the things that you have on your heart. I can't see your heart, but God, even before you came here, he knew what was on your heart. And he had an answer for everything. But he only wants you to have that expectation so that you know that he has met with you. So it's not just a random coincidence. God doesn't operate in coincidence. He's a God of purpose. Amen. And he will meet with us. Father, we just want to thank you. We want to give you glory that you have met with us. You are meeting with us. You are here, oh God. That everything about your word, Lord, you will speak clearly, expressly. And we will be the ones who choose to listen to your word. Because you have told us you will increase our understanding, oh God. And you give us an abundance of knowledge. Father, you're the one who also tells us that there is a future. And the expectations of the righteous, your righteous people, the men, the women, the youth, the children, will not be cut off. Daddy, as we've taken time to actually put down our expectations, I thank you that you're the one who goes beyond what we can think, ask, or even imagine. And you will meet us, God, at a point, every point of our need, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. I was saying God met one expectation. My other expectation was the choice of songs I was hoping the choir sing today. And in praise, the first song, The Name of the Lord is a Strong Tower, like, whoa. I was sitting in the car and I was thinking of the song, it was totally the first one we sang, Shout to the Lord. And I heard Shout to the Lord on the radio. And the part where it kept saying Tower of Refuge and Strength, I said, wow, this is Sister Tully's song. This is one of her favorite songs. If only the choir will sing that. And there she was singing. I said, God, you have met this morning. And God had met those expectations. I bless God. I thank you, choir, for letting the Holy Spirit lead you. And he'll continue to lead you to greater and greater in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. So our theme this month is the Tower of Strength. Taken from Psalm 61, verse 3. If somebody is there, just to read and remind us. Psalm 61, verse 3. Praise God. There's a mic coming, my brother.
Lead me to the towering rock of safety.
Hallelujah.
For you are my safe refuge.
Hallelujah.
A fortress where my enemies cannot reach me.
Hallelujah. Amen. He's the towering rock of safety, for you're my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Hallelujah. That was David who was writing there. He just was overwhelmed with a number of things going on, and he penned that down. As we saw, I think one of the Fridays we were sharing is actually for the choir leader, for them to go and sing to the Lord these things of what they believed of God. But where are we going today? We're just taking that a step further. As the Lord laid, for those who want a title, the name of the message is The Name of the Lord, Our Strong Tower. The Name of the Lord, Our Strong Tower. And that's taken, as we know, from Proverbs 18:10. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:10. Praise God. as we sang about today, we danced, and it said the name, this was Solomon writing, it says the name of the Lord is a strong fortress in the New Living Translation. And it says the godly run to him and they are safe. Amen. I don't know how many people are the godly who will look to run to the tower of God today. And it says they are safe. And Solomon goes on. It says the rich think of their wealth as a strong defense. They imagine it to be a high wall of safety. He had a right to talk about it. There are other places that people place their refuge. But before we go on to understand, why do we have to listen to Proverbs? Why should Solomon tell her? Why was he writing Proverbs? In Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon addresses, as he starts the book of Proverbs, tell us why, when we read it, why he had written it, the purpose. It says, these are the proverbs. I'm reading Proverbs 1. It said, these are the proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people, to teach us wisdom and discipline. It's to help them, help us understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. I don't know if we want successful lives, but Proverbs was written, Solomon was writing this because he was urging us to live disciplined and successful life. It says to help us to do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Amen. Hallelujah. That was Solomon saying, why I'm writing this proverb, why I'm telling you the name of the Lord is a strong tower, is to help you so you live successful lives. Because I know storms will come, I know challenges will come. But I'm writing this to give you wisdom to make the right choices. Because it's the word of God, it goes on to eternity. He was seen 2017. When that word was penned down, he was seeing Oxford, he was seeing Word Fountain Church, and he was saying, I'm writing this word so you will make the right choices when the time comes. They're there for us to say, don't run into anything else, but run into the name of the Lord, because I know it is a strong tower. David, his father, had written about the name of the Lord. If you look at through the different Psalms, David talks about the name of the Lord. David's circumstances, we know, was completely different from Solomon's. David fought so many wars. He had mighty men of warriors around him. I think we were describing one day on a Friday meeting, one of these men in the snow went to kill a lion by himself. Another one of the warriors had killed about 300 men by himself. So David was surrounded by what you say physical strength. But he still would look and say, despite all of those things and war and hiding in caves and everything else, the one place I will show you that is the strongest tower is in the name of the Lord. That is where I'll say my conclusion, name of the Lord. Solomon now comes, peaceful living, there is no war. So he doesn't have to agree with his dad because they've had very different experiences. If we look at Solomon, it says he was the wisest man at that time. We had famous people would come and they would hear about this wisdom and say, no, I have to go and see it for my eye. And they wouldn't go and see it and come back and say, no, you don't know what you're talking about. But they'll go and see and confirm even more to say, no, definitely. This man, I have to know your God because this wisdom, I've not seen it in anywhere. It also says he was very rich. And I was looking at rich. There's rich in the Bible. You think, okay, what about Bill Gates? What about Warren Buffett? What about Rockefeller? But it was saying somebody who did the math had said, if you actually look at the equivalent of Solomon's wealth compared to all these people we list, Bill Gates and those people will be operating in billions of dollars. But Solomon was in the trillions. He was way ahead of all of that wealth. So he's written, it says, about 3,000 proverbs, 1,005 songs. He has studied extensively. He's seen the most influential people in those times. He'd seen the fairest of the women. That way he could say, like Samson, I'll rest my head on the Delilahs of those times. But he had seen all of those things. He had seen all the different things, the resources, the best of furniture, the best of mansions, the best of everything. People were even saying, let me send you the best of the natural resources to build all the things you wanted. So he had seen all of those things. So he could have said, you know what? My strength is in that timber that comes from Lebanon or wherever it was. He could have said, my strength is in the most beautiful women who are surrounding me. My strength is in my status. My strength is in my credibility. My strength is in my academia. My strength is in the fleet of, it wasn't limousines then, but chariots and everything else. They were right. That is where my strength lies. My strength is in what my dad says. He didn't even say that. He said, the name of the Lord. It's a strong tower. The righteous run into it.
and they are safe. I have tested this, and I'm telling you, with everything I've seen, he calls it vanity in Ecclesiastes. It's meaningless. It gives you only temporary pleasure. It gives you only a temporary comfort. But the one place I know that will go on till eternity, that is immovable, that doesn't change, is in the name of the Lord. That's why he could write 11 to say about the riches that we read in that Proverbs 18, about the rich, that they look at their riches as a high safety, and it's almost a mockery to say, you think you're rich, I've been there, mate. And it hasn't even reached anywhere a measure of what this name of the Lord is. And we start and begin to say, listen to this message, listen to this word, because you get more understanding. Just like Solomon started to say, I've written this so you will listen, so you'll make the right choices, and you will be successful. Because I was the persona of success in the beginning. Even me with all those things, I fell on this. I ended up looking at women as my refuge. And I fell. As you read the end of Solomon's story. But he's saying, look to the Lord. The name of the Lord is the strong tower. That was Solomon with his credibility. And I'm sure Queen of Sheba, everyone would have said, Word Fountain, listen to King Solomon. Because he knows what he's talking about. I've sat with him. I've heard him. He knows what he's talking about. But then we have one today who's greater than Solomon. His name is Jesus. He is the Word. In that name that is greater above every name, that is our place of safety. That is our place of refuge. Amen. And the question is, what name are we running to today? I know if you ask me, if I went around and asked everyone, from Brother Allah right the way to Joel and Bissy, I'm sure we'll all say our refuge is in the name of the Lord. But then the Lord started to unpick that question again for me to really process and think, to say, where are you running to? Which name? Is it me? And some of the tests, it was like a test to say, just a list of things. Are you running to a name, for example? Ask, are you running to a name of a solicitor? Somebody is helping to say he's the best, to get you the best case. It might be for settlement. It might be just some kind of legal case to say, this one has been quoted as the best. And you say, no, my name, my strength, my refuge is in the name of the Lord. But he says, if it is the case, if you believe that my name is where you run to, if you were coming on your way to service on a Sunday and that solicitor called you and said, I need you in London right now, it's important, you need to come, would you just cancel your appointment with God and run to that solicitor? Or would you say, sorry, I can't come because I'm going to service, because God has called me for an appointment? Is it in the name of a consultant, a specialist, or medication? I know there are people who, including me at one point, and God helped me, that if I hadn't taken certain medication, I can't leave the house. Even if I've left the house, I'll drive back home to go and pick up my medication before I go wherever. But sometimes morning devotion can be missed. Just like that, I'm out on the road. Running to the Lord is not a Sunday by Sunday process. Running to the Lord is not a year by year process. Running to the Lord is not a month by month process. It's a minute by minute, second by second, a daily process. If God opened our eyes to see the dangers around that he saves us from, physical, spiritual, emotional, we will not do without going to that name and making sure we're there. That medication, we're not even sure what it does, if we have to be honest. We just believe a man who has studied the things that God has put in their mind to study, to say it will help you to do this. But we don't know. They just test a number of people as a control sample to say it represents 7 billion people. But there could be one who does not follow that particular rule, but they have to go by the general, because they can't test every single one and give you a period of time to see what the drug will do in a short term and a long term period. But would rather run and say, I'll take that, and just ignore the word. I remember times when I used to travel and my suitcase was heavy. The first thing that would come off is my big Bible. I was just thinking, I don't want excess luggage. I'll take off the big Bible. But the shoes were fine. The clothes were fine. the makeup bag that was even weighing more, that was fine because that was necessary. Yet, I was parking the one thing in life, the most important thing I needed to take with me. That's the question, the name of the Lord, our strong tower. To examine, I was examining myself. Is it really my strong tower? In our managers, supervisors, seniors at work, you're on your way to the appointment with the King of Kings. And the supervisor says, I've got extra hours. I've got for overtime. Christmas is coming. I need to send stuff home. I need to prepare my Christmas. Do we say, oh, yes, overtime, and say, Lord, I cancel that appointment. I can't make it. I'm sorry. We have to rebook because my manager has called me. Or our favorite football player or team. Someone's laughing. I'm not going to say who. Praise God. They come to service on that Sunday, but you know maybe it's Arsenal playing Chelsea. I don't know the game. But maybe it's Arsenal that you physically come, but nothing about you is actually in the service. Because you are sitting here, but your mind is, ah. What is the time? Don't add, no extra prayer. Not today. Not an extra worship song. Did this woman know who is playing today? Why? Then after service, sister this, brother, no, I'll speak to you. Running out the door, then you come out the door. Maybe somebody who wasn't there said, my sister, my brother, how was service? Oh, great. Come out the TV, come out. How was service? Great. Okay, what did they say in service? What did you, service? No, it was great. It was. It was great. And some people gave testimonies and the word, it was powerful. It was a blessing. It was such a blessing. Okay, what part bless you, brother, sister? You know, God is good. God is good. Yeah, God is good. Amen. That was the question. Are you really running into my name? Or social commitments. Sunday is Bible study Sunday. That's a Sunday that, oh yeah, it's Bible study. We can go to Kasam Stadium for the car boot sale. We can go to another market for the car boot sale because it's Bible study. I'm not going to be there because, that's the time I can go to London and do all my shopping for the month because it's Bible study. Bible study is a time when you get to ask questions about this Lord we're supposed to know. This name, to understand more what that name means. I remember when Hadassah was being named and some people that didn't know, generally when they say, what's her name? And I had a list, I think there are about 8 or so names. And I said, why are you giving all these names? But I didn't give her the names. It was a gift from people because I love names because they have great meanings. But some names they were calling, it sounded nice, like Buluwatito, and I didn't know what it meant. I had to ask and study more about that name. I had to go and study more about Esther. I had to go and study more about what Hadassah, the source, what does it mean? So I can pray over those things and make sure she's following to what God has called her. Because prophecy, I believe, is the most consistent, name is the most consistent prophecy. When they keep calling you and you're saying yes, you're attesting to what they're calling you. That's why if somebody is calling a situation or calling a name something bad, your child is a naughty boy. No, he's not a naughty boy. Somebody said, he's a terrible two. No, he's a blessed two. He's not a terrible two. Because it's the name you're speaking, even over your situation. I had to stop somebody in the retail part when she was such a terrible two. I said, no, it's blessed. What are you doing with your mouth to that child? She said, what is this? But I had to, because for me, it was painful just seeing you using your own mouth to bring down this beautiful creation that God had given you. So Bible study is a time when you come in, you ask questions. Because when we're here now, the opportunity is not there. Maybe something I've said and you're thinking, what did you mean by that? Or not everyone comes later to stop and ask me. Or you will plan to say, I'll go home and study. But the time in Bible study gives you that opportunity. It's when you get into depth to understand why you're holding on to this name. But that's the time we decide to run, that Bible study is not important. If we look at the early church, what kept them was the teaching and the prayers, understanding more about this God. So I ask you the question again. What are we running to? Are we truly running unto the name of the Lord? Why should we run into the name of the Lord? If somebody is in Romans 10, or if we go to Romans 10, verse 13, to read that, please. Romans 10, verse 13.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
For whosoever. Thank you, ma'am. The New Living Translation says, everyone who calls, everyone who calls, there is an action we're required to call. On the name of the Lord, they will be saved. Everyone who calls is to call for everything, every day, situations you're facing. So it's not when we get to a point where it's such a, what it looks like such a big, unresolvable situation, that's when we decide to call to God. But this is one where we call for all our everyday things that we are having challenges with. Any pressures of life. Lord, how can I bring up my child in your way? In the midst of the pressures of society, the trappings of social media, how can I bring up that son? How can I bring up that daughter and make sure they stay on your path? Those are things the Lord wants us to call out to him for. How can I help them focus in school? That they understand that this is necessary. We look at the bigger issues, but some of these day-to-day things are things that we need to put to God to help us. How can I live as a single or anyone else? Singles here, a pure life, God. A pure life. I remember going to a program. It was a woman's program. And there was a lady, when we went in, she was ushering, she was doing everything, very much running around, doing even more, smiling, all of that. And there was a call for prayer for people who, any kind of captive to any sort of thing, to come out for prayer. And people came out, they prayed for them, and people went to their seats. And she came and she tapped me. And she said to me, please pray, I'm struggling with lust, really struggling. And I looked and I said, but from everything, I would never have seen that, but God sees. And he prompted her and she just felt, I have to come and I need help with this. And I just held her and we prayed together. I thank God. And I said, wow, thank you for that heart that knows that this is not right. And I told her we were praying and giving her, as God helped me, advice on reminding her she had the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ does not have to contain that kind of thinking. Philippians 4:8 tells us what we should think as Christians. We should think things that are lovely, things that are admirable, things that are pure, things that are of excellent report. It's nice as you hear it, but it needs the power of the Holy Ghost to help you to do it. And it's to ask God to help me to think pure thoughts, not to think. We started to talk and we got to a point where I was, what do you watch before you go to bed at night? What are you listening to? It might not be TV, it might be on YouTube, it might be something, Facebook. What are you watching? Because as well as closing the door and shutting the enemy away, we have to close those doors. It's calling on the Lord to say, give me wisdom. How can I stop these things? The thing that was put on my heart really about running to him in this period is about the day-to-day living. The big issue, God has already sorted that. All the things we're bringing to him, I need this, I need that, Lord. He sorted it, it's nothing. But what is interesting is our day-to-day walk with him, our day-to-day living. When we say we're the righteous, it's the righteous who's running into him. So the enemy can't come and accuse us when we want to run. That's what makes us that we're weary when we're running. We're not running like our Usain Bolt. We're even him now. We will need help, but God will help us. Amen. But he knows that and is retiring to do greater things, I'm sure. But the point is the day-to-day walk so we can stand as righteous. I like the workers' prayer this morning. It's like, how are we clothing ourselves? How can we clothe ourselves? We have to watch to see what's coming from afar. How do we watch? The tower, if you look at, I love that picture that's projected. If you can see, the tower is higher than every other thing. Because you look, you observe, it's a defense as well as watching to see what's coming. I need to block it before it gets here. But God said, run into him. He does it, but we need to commune with him so he can tell us, this is where you need to be careful because I've seen this and that coming. Amen? I was just reading about towers in the world And there was one that caught my attention. It's called the Torre Tower or something, which is in Mexico, I understand. It's supposed to be the strongest tower, major tower or something like that. It's one of the strongest buildings in the world. And the way they've designed it, because Mexico has a propensity for earthquakes, and they've designed it that this building can withstand about 8.5 Richter scale. I'm sure that sounds high anyway, in the earthquake. And it's very high, sir. Thank you, sir. So it's designed to withstand the 8.5 Richter scale. That's a human looking to say. But the tower being called to is God knows about the earthquake. He knows when earthquake will come, a spiritual earthquake, a physical earthquake. You can be in a town where there's something like that, and he saves you so you can go and talk to others about him. That's the tower we're talking about, not a man-made tower. Amen, that name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He wants us in that name to call him. The Bible calls us as men, calls the men to be the priests of their home. Lord, help me to truly be a priest, to raise the tower of prayer above everything else in my home. Help me to do that, the wisdom. Help me to love my wife the way that you love the church. Help me as a wife to submit to my husband at all times. Give me the wisdom I need so that children will truly obey. Desiring the things of God over things that are temporary pleasures of the world. Help me to do that, oh God. And if we're not saved, Lord, save me. If we need rededication to come back to him somewhere where we slipped, call his name desperately, not in a leisurely manner, but desperately, knowing you need help in this area. I've just penned a few, but they're different areas that God wants us to call him, because he sees us going through these things day by day. We come in and we look like everything is together. The church is not really supposed to be a room of where we just perfect. Yesterday in the program, I was saying where you mask everything. We even try and mask it from God, we were told. That even to each other, we could say, yes, it's all well. We're talking about Christianese that we speak. It's well, God is great. Yeah, how are you though? That's what we're asking. How are you? God is great. It is well. And with you, you know, it's well. And yes, sometimes how do I say, what will they do? But it's in those daily struggles, God is saying, I know what we're going through. I know what you're going through. Bring it to me honestly. You can't mask it from him. Something else they were saying is, yes, among all of us, we all are clothed and everything looks fine. But to God, we're naked before him. He knows everything. If you look at Hebrews 4, I think it's 4:8, where he talks about the word of the Lord being sharper than a two-edged sword. If you read further down, he knows our desires, he knows our thoughts. And we're naked, we're exposed before him. He knows. So when he says, call on me, he already knows what you need to call on him for. Because he has spiritual x-ray vision. He knows what we need to call on him for. So when he says, call on me, we'll be wise to just go and answer that call. To call and tell him the areas where we need him. When he said he wants to meet our expectation, that's one area today. Please let's not go home taking those things back with us because they're burdens. We cannot run to his name if we're still holding on to those burdens. It makes it harder. I talk about going to Manchester with all our bags. If the train was going to go, that train would have gone. Because by the time you carry all these bags, trying to run for the train, just ask, what time is the next train? But the Lord is saying, drop these bags, drop these burdens. I will carry them for you. The difference it made when somebody said, let me help you with that bag. I could run to that train, not even out of breath. I could run to the train because somebody said, let me carry it for you. And this one, God is not asking, let me just carry one bag. He's saying, give them all. Just bring them all. Bring them all. Bring them here. Whatever your burden, bring them to me. Bring it. What are you struggling with on a daily basis? Bring it to me. And God is so loving. He doesn't expose you. He says, oh my God, can you believe what Brother Henry just came to tell me? He doesn't. In love, he's welcoming you. He says, come boldly to that throne of grace. Obtain from me. He's calling us to come to him. Hallelujah. And he will not fail when you answer to call to him. Amen. Another person that knew about the name of the Lord was David. And it's the story we know. Our children has reenacted it for us so powerfully. If we go to, is the David and Goliath, if we go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Praise God. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'll just read a few verses. I read verse 45 and the New Living Translation. It said, David replied to the Philistine, You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This is who David was coming in. He knew the Lord. But the thing with David, he did not just know God that minute when he saw Goliath. It was a daily walk, knowing of going to the name of the Lord, just like we're called to do in Romans 10. It was a daily thing. It was the things we struggle with. God is, he said, there's now no more condemnation for those who belong to God. He wasn't looking to condemn. Everything we put to him, say, Lord, help me in this area. Because David was so used to that calling on the name of the Lord. So when Goliath, the big Goliath came, that would give him his big promotion, he did not go, whoa. It was normal to stand and say, this one is not even, I don't have to think twice about this. I know who I'm coming in. Amen? And when we see, I'll read verse 34, just to buttress why I was saying that. And one other verse I'll read later, but it said, but David persisted in verse 34. I have taken, this is when Saul, he was trying to tell Saul why he qualified to stand and fight Goliath. And he said, but David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. He said, when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this both to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and bear will rescue me from this Philistine. I don't know what your Philistine situation is either, but be assured that God can rescue you from it. Amen. He had this experience in his daily life that he could trust and lay down whatever it was to God, because he'd seen God act time and time again. And I like verse 46 as well. And then I'll go on to read 51. Verse 46 says, today, this is David still talking. He said, today, somebody say today. 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 As you speak to that issue situation, he said, the Lord will conquer you. And he was saying, I will kill you and cut off your head. I just want to stop there. David here, he said, I'll kill you and cut off your head. And I'll just read so it makes sense why I'm saying this. In verse 51, what does David do? Then David ran over, pulled Goliath's sword from his sheath, and David used it to kill him and cut off his head. David had imagined his victory. He had already from the beginning seen the victory, where he could even speak it. He said, I'm going to cut off your head. He saw it. He imagined it. Just like the Lord wants us to imagine our victory. Whatever the situation is, so imagine the victory. To look at it and say, yes, I see myself settled. I see myself walking higher in the Lord. I see myself with my family. I see myself with my children. I see myself in safety. I see myself with peace. I see my children following God. I see my children excelling. I see my life. I see my parents. I see my family saved. I see all other the people, the communities around me wanting to know about God. I see Oxford crying and yielding and knowing that God is indeed the name that we can run to, not in anything else. To imagine around you as you pray. I see people who know that this God can do mighty and wonderful things. I see that God who is a God who heals. I see him that the things that the doctors have said are not possible, he can heal them. He can turn around my situation. I see God working in my marriage. I see God doing wonderful and marvelous things. David imagined it. He said, I see your head on the floor and I will be the one who will cut it. I'll be the one. I see it. What are you imagining? The enemy will take that place if you don't imagine and put ideas that will bring us to fear. He will put things for you to imagine the worst. But God is saying, imagine in my eyes. Imagine with my eyes. Imagine a world without limits, because I'm a God that does not have any limits. Imagine that you can call things to being that are not as though they were. Imagine where there's a world that was formless with void, darkness. And I spoke and said, let there be light. And there was light. And I separated darkness immediately from light. Imagine with me. Imagine. Let's go around. He looked, took Abraham and said, look and see those stars. Imagine. I call all those trillion, billion stars one by one by name. I know the hair, the strands of hair on your head. They're numbered. Imagine with me. When you're praying, go with the Lord and imagine in that tower. Imagine. He wants to take you high up that tower so you can look around the world when you imagine. The Bible says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. That you're looking around the globe. You're not looking in your bedroom. You're not looking in your little space. You're not looking at what you see right now with your children. You're not looking at what you see when you don't have the children, you don't have the wife, you don't have the husband, you don't have the job you want, you're not in a country you want, you're not in a place you want. You cannot look at those things. If David had looked at Goliath, if he had looked at the size, even just the toenails probably of Goliath, he would have run home. But he could not do that. He knew his focus had to change. He had to look at that name that was that tower that could see beyond. And that's what the Lord is calling us to do. He imagined it and he spoke it, actually. He didn't just imagine in his mind and say, okay, it's only me imagining. Because if I speak it out, people think, have you lost your mind? Because can you imagine then, the brother who just saw him arrive at lunch wanted to beat him up and give him such a backhand, like, what are you doing here? And now he opens his mouth saying, that Goliath, me, this small boy, Hebrew teenage boy, I'm going to cut your head off. That does not make sense. But God is not calling you to make sense or walk in sense. He wants you to walk by faith. That's what he's called us to do. That's why we are people of faith. We have to demonstrate faith. Otherwise, why are we different from anybody else? We have to think like our God. Amen. Another story that was shared at the conference yesterday was about a mom who had a son and he had done the right thing. He had gone to university, but he got involved in the wrong parts of the university where he found himself taking drugs. One day they called her, come and pick this boy up. We don't know what to do with him. And the mother described that she just stretched her hand and started praying over this child. She did not agree with that report that he's now going to be, you know, somebody who's on hard drugs forever or whatever drugs he was taking. She saw and imagined with the eyes of God. She had to speak it on that child. And she said, right now he's an IT consultant. He has a family. He has children. I'm sure, unless the mother said, if you saw, she put pictures of this wonderful family. If she had not said that, no one would look and say, oh my God, isn't that one who had some problem? So we need to look with the eyes of the Lord. Why do I say David followed this from childhood? As we know in the book of Deuteronomy, that's how we say it. Deuteronomy. I'm in Oxford, so I have to say it properly. Praise God. in the book of Deuteronomy 6, praise God, hallelujah, verse 7, and it just tells you some of the things God was telling them, some things he wanted them to take as part of their lifestyle so they could inherit the land. Verse 7, he said, repeat to them, these were his commands, his instructions, it says, repeat them again and again to your children, talk to them about them, talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up, tie them to your hands. Wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on your doorposts of your house, on your gate. I believe these are some of the things. This is the thing that David's family would have been doing at a young age. But the difference is in Romans 10, we were reading, verse 14. It said, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? It talks about us going out and spreading the word. But the point there is, David and his brothers, they all were doing these things where they told them again and again, repeating it again and again, the word of God. But the difference, I believe, with David is he believed what he was being told. He believed the word that he was being told from childhood. That's why it was not a struggle for him to apply it. The brothers, I'm sure some parts they probably believed, but when they saw danger, there's sometimes when things just, all things just fly out your head. You're like, oh yes, I went to jail. Oh yes, yes, yes. But you see the giant, but it's saying no. Just believe me. Focus on me. Even in this. And I like it as I start to round up. That I the anniversary, we thank God for that awesome anniversary. As we talk about the names of the Lord, the children came and they ministered to us about the names of the Lord for those who are here. And it was interesting because the way they did it, in case you don't understand in English, they started to do it in the different languages. So say, let me tell you the names in the different languages. Somebody came out, I believe, in Yoruba. Another one came in Igbo. Another one came in Ijo or Izo, as some people call it. Izo. When a Izo. Praise God. And there was Ghanaian as well, language. And I remember Dara rounding up with universal names of God to say, whatever the situation, God has shown his character and his name by this to say that he can meet that need. I was talking as a human being, children being named and given different names. But God has so many different names, his attributes. And it's not just a name because it sounds good. That's who he is. And they were listing those names to us. Jehovah, he's Elroy. My sister-in-law gave her son that name and it just drew my attention. Elroy means God who is seeing, God who knows, God who sees, sorry. In Isaiah 40, it says, oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? I don't know if there's a Jacob here, but God is the God who is seeing. That is his name. He sees. Hallelujah. El Eloah, it says, the prominent God, mighty, strong. Elohim, he's the creator. El Shaddai, he's the mighty one of Jacob. You can put your name in there. He's Adonai. He's our Lord. That's who you've come to meet today. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the one who provides. Where there is lack, where is tight. He says he is your shepherd. You shall not want. That's what he says. He means it. He doesn't just talk for the sake of talking. He talks because his words are powerful. They're action. They go to do what they're supposed to do. They don't come back to him void. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the God who heals. If it's healing you need, he's saying, I'm here. That is part of my name. That is my character. He's Jehovah Nissi. He's our banner. Jehovah Kadesh. He's the one who sanctifies. He's the one who makes holy. If there's a struggle in being holy, because God is holy, he's saying, I am the one. You don't need to do anything but come to me. Your actions, to me, they're like filthy rags. I'm the one who makes holy. I'm the one who sanctifies. I'm Jehovah Shalom. I'm your peace. I bring you peace where you cannot sleep, you cannot settle, the anxiety thoughts in your mind. He says, I bring you peace. I have peace. Come and receive my peace. It's not like the world gives. That's Jehovah Shalom. It's Jehovah Sikenu. The Lord, our righteousness. He causes us to walk in a righteous path. Where we struggle ourselves, we try to walk righteous and something detracts us. He's saying, I'm Jehovah Sikenu. I hold you by my right hand. I will lead you in that path. You will not stray as you keep an eye on me, as you focus on me. He's Jehovah Rohi. He is our shepherd who will keep you away from every harm. My sheep hear my voice. Hear me today as I ask you to call me to help you. Our help comes from above. He's here to help. He knows in every part what your expectations are. He's here to meet you. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. The Lord who is there with you, here with you. Whatever you're going through, whatever your needs are, he is Jehovah Shammah. El Elyon, the Lord Most High. He's highest, the highest. If you look at the meaning of tower, biblical meaning, there's a part where it says there is one tower, though, that is higher than all other towers. That is the name of our God. Hallelujah. El Olam, everlasting God. Whatever I've said to you today, I can tell you this word will never fade away that I've read from here. Everything else will fade away, but this word, if Jesus tarries, it will not, even when he comes, this word doesn't fade away. We can pass it on to generations. So what I meant is, even if Jesus tarries, we can pass it on to generations and it will last. It will do what it's doing today, it will do then, and it will not be diminished. Hallelujah. El Gigal, the name describing Messiah. And then it rounds about, I am that I am. The name he introduced Moses, as he introduced himself to Moses, is saying it encompasses all of these names. I am that I am. Whatever you're going through, this is not an exhaustive list. Whatever you're going through, Jehovah's attribute can meet your need. And then we have Jesus. That is the name above all names, where every knee bows. Every knee has ever troubled you. Every knee has ever brought you distress. Every knee has tried to pull you down. It bows at the mention of that name, Jesus. I want us to rise up as we call unto him. In whatever situation, I've called some names of God. I want you to call him today into that situation. Call him with ever struggle to say, Lord, I run to you. Help me to run to you, the strength to run to you, the encouragement to run to you. I'm almost giving up. I'm almost giving up. Daddy, Lord, Jehovah, King of Kings, I want to hold on. Hold on. Daddy, come to you. I'm calling on. Help me to believe. Help me to believe you. Daddy, King of Glory, Lord of Hosts. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Call unto the name of the Lord this afternoon. Don't look at anyone beside you. He wants to deal with your personal situation. Father, Lord Jehovah, we call on your name. You are the Lord Most High. You are not man that you should lie, O God. Father, we cry out to you. We cry out to you, O God. You know where we are trying to hold it together, but we can't anymore. We can't do it on our own anymore. Daddy, we need you. Your name indeed is beautiful, O God. Hallelujah. You have an answer for every situation. Even beautiful for all situations, Daddy, O Lord. Call him today. Don't mask away from him. He sees your heart. He sees your needs. Daddy, come on, fill us up with your joy. Fill us up with your strength. Fill us up with your hope. That hope that does not disappoint. Father, Lord Jehovah, we call on you. You are the wonderful name, O God. You have a powerful name, Lord Jesus. Father, as we worship you, that's how we can run into your presence, O God. Father, Lord, you are wonderful. You are a great God. You are a mighty God. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:35, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Have you thrown away your confidence in God? Where have you exchanged that confidence for? Receive renewed confidence in God. Receive renewed confidence and trust in Him. And standing with Him. Standing on Him. Letting Him take you through. Father, we thank You. As You restore our confidence. King of glory, Lord of hosts. In all the things we are trusting You for. You have heard us. Like you said to Jacob and Isaiah, I have seen Your troubles. I have not forgotten You. I have not abandoned You. In my time, I make all things, including your situation, I will make it beautiful again. I'm a God who restores. I'm a God who hears. My ears are not heavy. I am not deaf. My hands are not too short to reach You. I reach You. I reach your family. I will help you. I will strengthen you. Father, we thank You. Source of our strength. Daddy, Lord, we bless Your holy name. In Judges 8 and 9, it said from there, Gideon went up to Peniel and asked again for food, but he got the same answer. So he said to the people of Peniel, after I return in victory, I will tear down this tower. Daddy, we tear down every tower that has taken Your place in Your children's life, in my life, every tower. Daddy, we tear it down. We pull it down. It will not take precedence again. It will not take preeminence again. Father, we thank You. Daddy, we bless Your holy name. We bless Your holy name. Father, we give You glory. We give You honor. We thank You, Lord Jesus, as You go ahead and perform Your word. You know what Your children, You know what we've asked of You. Thank You, O God, that You're not man that You should lie. You gave us these two things, Your promise, Your oath. Father, that is immutable, that is unchangeable, because You told us You do not lie, that we should run to You for refuge. Daddy, we are running, we are choosing to run to You as You strengthen us. Thank You that testimonies will abound. Thank You for Your comfort. Thank You for Your deliverance. Thank You for all that You have given to us. Daddy, we give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can somebody shout hallelujah in victory?
Thank you for listening and hope that you have been richly blessed. For more information on Word Fountain Christian Ministries and service times, please log on to wordfountain.org or call the office on 01865 402 108. We look forward to seeing you. God bless.